The story of former Phoenix New Times journalist Joe Watson made headlines more than a decade ago. Watson was an award-winning writer, but he also was addicted to gambling and lost thousands of dollars, putting himself in a deep hole. That reality led him to, in his mind at least, a pair of terrible options. He would find a cliff to drive off of, or he would rob a gas station. Robbery was the option he chose, and he went on to rob 10 people, which included two tanning salons. So police went on to label Watson the Salon Bandit. Watson recently got out of prison and told his story to Phoenix Magazine. And to learn more, I'm joined by the magazine's editor, Craig Outier. Craig, Joe Watson was left in pretty dire straits. And now that you know the whole story, what stands out to you about where he was at and what the gambling addiction drove him to?
Yeah, you know, it was always just a fascinating part of the magazine's mythology. Like, you know, the fact that Joe had written for the magazine, had dated the editor-in-chief at one point. And, you know, we kind of knew the facts based on a lot of New Times articles that had come out. You know, at one point he just kind of snapped and held up a gas station with no gun, but still held it up, and use it to fuel his, you know, feed his gambling addiction at local casinos. That part of it, you know, was a matter of record, but anybody reading the story must have known there was another level to his story, why he turned to gambling. He had a pretty good career going. He was just out of journalism school. Had worked at the Tribune for a little bit, but had a, you know, plum gig at the New Times, which was a, you know, at the time had a lot of staff writers, and really was where you wanted to be if you were doing enterprise journalism in the Valley. So that was the story I wanted to get at. The writer, Noah Austin, got into that pretty well. He told Joe, kind of shared some details about his childhood and what he was going through mentally, psychologically at the time, feelings of inadequacy as a writer, even though he was doing great work. All of that was what I wanted to get into the feature.
Well, so ultimately, was there an answer that you found through Noah's writing, through the piece that you commissioned, to know why there are feelings of inadequacy, and then there are feelings of, wow, I'm gambling away all my money, and then his choices were pretty stark. I mean, he actually made the choice, which was, is it possible to call that a better choice than the other one he was considering, like driving off a cliff?
Right, yeah. And that, you know, I wanted to get this article into our Top Docs issue because that's where the medical, I think, side of gambling addiction comes in. It's not terribly different than what an alcoholic goes through. And he did, from what I understand, from the writing and from what he told Noah, got a sense of power and felt whole in the short term from gambling and then maybe also from committing these robberies, although he says he didn't get much of a charge out of the robberies themselves. It actually engendered, you know, feelings of self-loathing that were more intense than ever. And it sounded from the way he told the story that getting arrested and caught actually saved him because he was, as you said, he considered suicide at one point. I think those feelings intensified the deeper he got into this criminal lifestyle. So
in reading it, in knowing the story now as you do, did it feel like a cry for help? Did it feel like he was almost looking to have something happen? I mean, were there any considerations going on there? Because he ended up robbing, 10 establishments, right?
Right. Well, I mean, there was a pattern to his crimes he was committing. The more you do that, the more you create a pattern, the better chance it is you'll get caught. You know, ultimately, he was, you know, filmed on camera, one of his robberies, and his off and on girlfriend at the time recognized him from one of those. So yeah, I mean, I imagine there was a self-preservation probably was not the overriding, you know, motivation at that point.
One of the things that struck me is that a lot of physical confrontations in prison, how much do you think that ultimately affected him and got him back to writing?
Who knows what happens in prison, but it doesn't sound like it was the defining, you know, part of his experience there. He did get back into writing. He did a piece for Edible Baja down in Tucson that was wonderful, describing how they make prison lasagna, which involves, you know, some summer vegetables, summer sausage, bouillon packs from ramen. It sounded like really deluxe bachelor food. So all that stuff, that was interesting too, because, you know, that was when he was still in prison. He actually did that piece for Baja, Edible Baja, while in prison. So he was kind of resurfacing even before he got out of jail, which is great. And apparently he just recently won a couple of awards from the Arizona Press Club for a pair of articles he did down in Tucson too. So
does this strike you in some ways as a confessional? Okay, it's time for me to tell my story. I need to get this out.
Yeah, I mean, he's a storyteller. There was always a hope that, you know, the writer in him would want to flip it into a story. But he, you know, he's definitely sensitive about how it would be portrayed. You know, initially I'd found a writer. One of the challenges for this story was finding somebody, you know, in kind of the classic objective sense of and skeptical sense of journalism, who didn't work with him previously, didn't have a dog in the race. That was difficult to do. Most of my freelancers either worked at the New Times or obviously worked here. So I did find a writer initially who I know, you know, didn't work directly with him. But this person also had written a few true crime type stories. And when Joe found those online, he, you know, quote unquote, didn't want to do a Nora Roberts style kind of pulp crime thing, which was totally fine. I totally got it. And this was a friendly. I mean, this was a piece where I wanted the subject, Joe, to talk about his experience with as few safeguards as possible.
And as you mentioned, he's won some writing awards recently, and he's also become an activist related to stuff he learned in prison, which I think is pretty interesting as sort of the capper and his ability to move on from what he experienced.
Yeah, I don't think he likes the term prison reform. He told me he didn't, although we kind of described it that way. Yeah, but he works for American Friends Service Committee. Advocating for inmates is a big part of what they do. He told me that he felt like he had resources as a ex-journalist, a white guy in prison with, you know, support system that a lot of his fellow inmates didn't have. I think that weighed on him to some extent. And then connecting with this organization as a, you know, somebody out of prison, I think was kind of helping complete that circle.
Craig Outhier is editor of Phoenix Magazine.